This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Coming out of the political election cycle, we turn our attention to agriculture today. Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service, thanks for coming in.
Good to be here. Thanks, Kyle.
So, a lot to cover. We're talking about the weather. Summer, not that far off. People who are had things that they're going to do in the spring, probably ought to get them done.
Yeah, now's the time to act for a lot of things on both farms and gardens.
So I wanted to ask you about the wine grape situation first.
Yeah, so in the world of wine grapes on the farm side, we are looking at rapid shoot growth right now. So we tend to do something called thinning or shoot thinning in the wine grape world, where you're cutting off the extra shoots that are growing on the head. That's if you're looking at a wine plant, that's where it splits into the arms that get trellised. And anything below that, when we're trying to produce fruit, all those extra shoots just tend to take up energy instead of producing fruit.
What else is going on with wine right now?
Another thing to be paying attention to is powdery mildew, especially with that weather you just mentioned coming up. When we have hot and cold shifts or wet and then hot shifts, we run into more fungal issues. So that's something that we should be really paying attention to and working on prevention of that disease popping up. The other part with powdery mildew is it's important to look at the materials that you're using if you're spraying. There are some documented fungicide resistances popping up in Oregon and a couple to be looking out for, too.
Wow. So quite a bit there. Anything more on wine?
Yeah. The other things I would just recommend are make sure if you're growing wine grapes, whether it's commercially or in a garden, make sure that you're practicing good canopy management. So we're thinning those shoots and opening up the canopy where we've got some sunlight coming through. That'll help a lot with the powdery mildew resistance.
And seems like the water and the drought situation may be an issue.
Yes. So on April 30th, we got called into a state of drought here in the county. Currently, it's 100% of the county. So we want to be thinking ahead on not just with wine grapes, but for any crop. Where are we using water and how much water do we need? For mature stands here in the county, a lot of farmers are dry farming. So they're not irrigating or they're irrigating a lot less in their wine grape crops. But those younger vineyards, the ones that are, you know, just over a year or under, they still need water.
Wow. And I know we are waiting to get the drought order to the next level. Douglas County has submitted information to the state of Oregon through the county watermaster, the county commissioners, etc. And there's a back and forth there. But we already have several counties in Oregon under the state drought order, and it doesn't appear to me like we're very far away from getting it here.
Yeah, and for us in the agricultural world, that means that we should be preparing. And that does not mean panicking. Just thinking about what needs water first, how can we change our priorities to fit what we need to do, and what can we plant going forward that has reduced water needs.
Now, also one more thing in wine. Some of my interviews lately with winemakers, seems like a few weeks back we had a bit of a freeze that really caused some issues, and maybe it depended on where you were at.
Yeah, it definitely would depend on where you're at. In the world of wine, vines actually produce three shoots, a primary, a secondary, and tertiary. The primaries are the ones that produce the most fruit, but they also have the highest chance of getting frozen out. So if you were somewhere that had a freeze, you may have lost your primary emergent buds, and now we're looking at secondary emergent buds.
Wow. So let's talk about my favorite little snack in a way, the blueberry. What's going on?
It's also one of my favorites. So right now we're kind of in fruit set and early fruit development. So we're looking at the initial blooms called king blooms and now those secondary blooms. And we're starting to see some fruit develop on early varieties of blueberries. So this is one of those things where we should be checking our mulch, specifically if you're using Douglas fir mulch, to see if that needs to be revived. I like to keep a 2-inch layer of Douglas fir mulch on my blueberries to help with disease prevention. If you've got plastic mulch on the fruit, which by the way, I recommend having both Douglas fir mulch and then plastic mulch on top. But either way, If you've got plastic mulch, you should be making sure that you don't have a bunch of leaks under with your irrigation system. You don't have a bunch of holes or rodent presence either.
And what about our friend, or not so much friend, the spotted wing Drosophila?
Yeah, SWD. It's a little early to see them right now, but my recommendation is to start thinking about scouting. If you have a small blueberry field at home, or even just a couple plants, you can put out plastic cups that have lids with some holes and apple cider vinegar in them. That's a good way to start looking for spotted-winged Drosophila. And if you have a couple plants, it's a good way to manage spotted-winged Drosophila too. But the goal is to figure out when they're flying and get ahead of them before they start damaging the fruit.
Anything else about blueberries?
Yeah, sort of a lookout or a warning on fertility. If you are in a drought-stricken area this summer and you don't have a lot of access to water, just be mindful with the amount of fertilizer that you're putting on the plants. If we have poor water movement, we can have a salinity buildup.
Now, this is probably just a newer thing to me, and I'm guessing other people figured this out a long time ago. I stumbled across a few weeks ago the idea of munching on lightly frozen blueberries.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
My wife had put some in the freezer. I'm not sure that she did that on purpose, but I looked at that. I grabbed a container, brought it in here, and, you know, take them out, let it sit for a few minutes. Those are so good that way.
Yeah, it's like a healthier version of mini slushies or something.
Yeah, and it's like, and of course you don't want it totally frozen,
right.
Unless you want to head to the dentist for something. But no, a great snack there from the blueberry. So anyway, just a little extra bonus on the program.
There we go.
Let's talk about hazelnuts.
Yeah, so in the world of hazelnuts right now, we're looking at nut development and overall orchard health. So trees are starting to leaf out and growers should be watching for that crop development. We're probably not there where we have nut sizing yet, but just keep an eye on that. See how many nuts are you getting in a set. With the floor of the orchard, we want to be watching for weed competition, and we should be looking at tree vigor. Hazelnuts have an interesting or a different system in floor management, and the reason for that is because hazelnuts are typically harvested with a machine called a sweeper. So they're picking the hazelnuts up off the ground, and so keeping the ground or the floor of the orchard really clean is super important.
Anything else with hazelnuts?
Yeah, so most of our hazelnut farmers have probably heard this, but if you're growing hazelnuts at home, it's important to know that there is a new strain of Eastern filbert blight. We don't have a lot
of... You're just full of good news.
I know. EFB, or Eastern filbert blight, hasn't been a giant issue in the county yet, but it's important to be scouting for that and know what's going on. And on the good news front, in terms of EFB, we are looking at some new developments in the hazelnut world and some new varieties that may have some resistance to EFB, the new strain.
Now, what about irrigation and the drought issue for hazelnuts?
That's kind of like the wine grapes. Mature hazelnut stands tend to need less water, but those younger stands, the brand new planted ones, are going to need water. So if we're looking at prioritizing how much water we get over the summer, we should probably be looking at those newer stands.
And are insects an issue with hazelnuts?
Yeah, they can be. There's a lot of different insects that we can see in hazelnuts. For example, aphids are one that do show up pretty frequently but aren't as economically important. They have a higher threshold before we have to treat for them. But it's important to be looking out for your filbert worms, bud mites, and things like that. And especially right now, bud mite would be one to be looking out for.
So if we've got people that just have a little backyard garden, some vegetables, maybe somebody a little larger scale wants to take things to a market, where are they at right now?
So vegetables are such an interesting world because there's just such a big and diverse category. But the good news is right now is planting season. So we just planted yesterday with my Boots on the Ground program. We put in our tomatoes. We also did our peppers, our lettuces, and most of our herbs. So it's kind of warm season right now, and it's time to start getting things in the ground.
And again, water is going to be an issue there.
Yeah, so that's one of those things where we can use water management strategies. So mulch is a really good option. I highly recommend putting some kind of mulch. That could be sawdust, wood chips. I like to use straw if it's weed-free and seed-free. That's one that tends to work really well. Holds in water longer and keeps those plants happier.
And pests or even deer, are sometimes an issue here.
Yes. I just had to go back and deer-proof my fence at the Discovery Garden for the Agricultural Learning Center part, putting up cattle panels where we found holes in our fence from the deer. So that's something to be watching out for. And then, once again, the vegetable cropping group is so diverse. We want to be watching for aphids, flea beetles, cucumber beetles, and a whole lot more. So the important thing is to be out in the garden or to be out on the farm and looking for signs of issues.
And that's one of the things where, for some people, it's really a challenge if you want to just go out and kind of dabble in it, but you really have to pay more attention.
Yeah, there's a threshold that has to be determined from grower to grower on what we're willing to sort of share with the bugs and what we don't want to. And there are a lot of options to treat for insects that aren't chemical. It's just a good idea to have a plan beforehand. I've probably brought this up before, but I've got a grower I work with who's really fantastic. He doesn't use a lot of chemical treatments or any chemical treatments on his farm, if I remember correctly. And he uses row cover on his squash until the first blossom shows up on those squash. And the reason he does that is he gets little to no cucumber beetle pressure by doing that. And then by the time they bloom and they need to be pollinated, he can take that row cover off and he's got majorly reduced or non-existent cucumber beetle issues.
All right, more from Logan Bennett when we come back. Ag in Douglas County, the interview podcast after one at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming up at 1. Logan Bennett, Oregon State University Extension Service, talking ag in Douglas County, working our way through a number of topics. What about tree fruit, small orchards? Where do things stand this time of year?
So this time of year, for things like apples and pears, we want to start thinking about coddling moth. They can be a huge issue in orchards if they go unmanaged over the summer. We can start putting out traps now. You could even wait maybe a week, but we want to start thinking about coddling moth as an issue that's going to show up. It's a very common issue to have in the county and really throughout the state. The other thing with apples and pears to think about right now is fruit thinning. So if you haven't done it yet, go out and check out your fruit. If they are getting somewhat sized up, and I don't mean all the way to golf ball, just starting to be able to discern individual fruit, it may be time to thin. And I know that's not the funnest thing to do, especially in a home orchard where we want to maximize our fruit production, but I really recommend thinning your clusters of both apples and pears to one fruit per cluster.
Now, in your notes here, here's something I've never heard of, I don't think. Cherries, yeah, I'm familiar with those. Stone fruit.
Yeah, so cherry is a stone fruit, and so are peaches, plums, anything that's got a big seed in the middle.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So right now we're looking at...
I missed that class that day, apparently.
It's all good. One of my favorite stone fruits is actually donut peaches, if you've ever seen those before. They're sort of a peach, but they're scrunched down. Super good. So we want to be watching on our fruit sets, and then...
Not to be confused with an actual donut.
No, these are a little bit more healthy.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. On cherries specifically, we should be looking for cracking. That's what happens. We were talking about that weather pattern. When it gets rainy and then it gets dry and hot really quickly, we can actually have the fruit split, and that's called fruit cracking. So that's something we want to be watching out in cherries. Also, this is the time of year where we start seeing issues with bacterial canker, bird pressure like on cherries again, and then aphids too are something to be cautious of. Once again, they're not as huge of a deal as some of the other pests we have, but if we treat for them or catch them early, it's a lot easier than dealing with them later.
And for home orchards and small farms?
Yeah, so the big thing is making sure that, once again, like our hazelnuts, we keep the weeds away from our trees. They can take up a lot of that water, and that matters right now, especially in a drought. We do want to continue thinning those fruit, make sure that we're keeping our fruits nice and healthy. Another justification for that is if you've got apples and pears rubbing against each other, that's where we end up with more disease incidents and more coddling moth incidents. And then when you are irrigating, try to irrigate deeply instead of short sets. That'll help a lot.
Now, we've talked about a number of things, but what about other Douglas County crops and farm systems?
Yeah, the other things with like nurseries and greenhouses, we want to think about ventilation and irrigation scheduling. Greenhouses can take up a lot of water, so we want to be thinking about what we're doing there. Cut flowers, we're looking at succession planting right now. Think about what you're going to be planting and what can grow, especially if we end up in a full drought situation. And just keep an eye on all of these crops and make sure that you're using the best water-saving practices possible.
Now, do cover crops help with any of this?
Absolutely. Cover crops are almost always a good idea. We put out a bunch over the summer, over the fall this year, and we're seeing the soil that we put them in tends to hold water a little better. We swathed and then incorporated. That means we just cut it down and then brought it back into the soil. And they tend to have more nutrition, too.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the classes and things like that that you have coming up with the OSU Extension Service.
Yeah, the fun stuff. So we still have two learning grows at the co-op. What those are is we offer a free class on a Friday at the co-op. You can come hang out, listen to us talk, and ask questions about your home garden related to the topic, and they're totally free. June 19th, we're going to be doing pest identification and management. So we'll be looking at that in the garden scale. How do you treat for and identify pests that are currently in your garden, and how can you do that in an integrated pest management setting? And then we have our on July 17th, we're going to be planning for fall crops. And I know it sounds crazy planning for fall crops in July, but it's really time.
Wow.
Yeah. And then some updates. We've got our Boots on the Ground program, which is a military veteran agripreneurship, which means we're helping folks.
Yet another new word on the radio.
That's right. I just come chock full of them. That is a way of saying that we're working with veterans to help them gain vocational skills to go into market gardening or farming.
All right. And how do people get connected on that?
Yeah, go ahead and get a hold of us on the Douglas County website, or feel free to give me a call, 541-236-3015.
All right. Now, I know that you're doing a lot with bees.
Yes, we have the Bee Basic, and we have You, Me, and the Bees. So Bee Basic is, once again, a veterans program for bees. And then we have You, Me, and the Bees, which is a general public beekeeping program where we still have two sessions left. Next month, we're going to be doing a hive dive, so we're going to crack open some hives and take a look at what's going on inside.
Wow. And do you feel like interest in bees is growing?
Yeah, I think so. It's one of those things where it's a hobby or a profession that you can get into rather approachably if you have some ground. And there's a really good community of beekeepers around here.
All right. What else is coming up?
The big one I wanted to mention today is we have a new program starting tomorrow in Myrtle Creek called Seed to Supper. And if you're in Myrtle Creek, come check us out at the library tomorrow at 6 p.m. That is a program for folks who want to learn all the way from how do you start a seed to how do you harvest, cook, and preserve this. And that's a completely free program.
All right, and I see you've got something coming up in Elkton.
We have a few things coming up here. The Women's Tree Identification is with our Natural Resource Program. That's going to be on June 3rd from 9 to noon. And then we also have a few other forestry programs coming up. We have a Forest Health and a Changing Landscape. It's a field day for woodland managers to check out. And a class called Planning for Planting on June 30th, which is a practical guide for successful reforestation. So the Natural Resource Program here in the county has a lot going on.
And of course, and we just started talking about it today, the Lamb Show is coming up.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy how quick that happens, right? So that's going to be on June 6th from 8 to 11, and then also on June 7th. But that's coming up quick, and it sounds like it's going to be a really good show this year.
And what about other ag or related opportunities?
Yeah, so we're planning a soils class that'll happen in July, and then we also have a class at the Riddle Library June 30th from 2 to 3:30 called Broccoli in the Bank, and that is another fall planting class. So we're actually going to be starting some seeds and talking about how brassicas do well in the county.
All right. Many things going on. Anything else you want to mention?
Yeah. We have some more classes coming up, and then we're always open in the plant clinic on weekdays from 1 to 4 over the summer. Feel free to reach out and ask any questions or check us out on the Douglas County Extension website.
Do you ever sleep?
Sometimes.
Because it just seems like you come in with a long list of all these things that you were doing, and they're not like you're staying in one place.
No.
You're North County, you're South County, you're over at the coast, you're running everywhere.
Well, this is by far the best job I've ever had. I absolutely love doing what I do and working with the people that I do, and that makes it really easy to get into a lot of stuff.
Well, and this is such a crucial time of the year right now.
Absolutely. Spring to essentially the end of fall, almost winter, is really our busy season for agricultural production. So we're, for me, my office is usually my truck during this time of year.
And obviously, we'll keep monitoring and checking in with you and the county and others on the update on this whole drought issue.
Yes. If we get updates, I'll get a hold of Kyle and we'll come out and give you guys those updates.
Yeah, and I know I'm really kind of expecting we'll hear probably from the state level pretty soon here.
Yeah, we'll want to stay informed on that. It's definitely going to affect how we do agriculture this summer.
All right, Logan Bennett, Oregon State University Extension Service, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.